Welcome to Rambam on the line. We're up to Perek Shmini of Hilchas Lulav. Arbat minim hoelu shem lulav adasur ava v'yetro. Four varieties, which are the lulav, the hadas, the myrtle, the arava, the willow, and the yetro. Chayach mem yabasha gozal agonav afilu lakayeyush. If one of them was dried up, or stolen by force, or just stolen, even after the owner gave up hope of ever recovering it. Or if it was from a tree that is worshipped as an idol. Even though now the tree is not worshipped anymore. Or if it's of a city that's going to be destroyed for idolatry. Or is a puzzle. In all of these cases, it is disqualified. If it's dried up, it's not hadar, which is beautiful. If it's stolen, it's still not yours, even if the person gave up. If it was used for idolatry, it's considered loathsome and can't be used for the mitzvah. If it's going to be burned, because it's in the air, nidakas, it's considered below its minimum size. It has no size since it's going to be burned. If one of them was of idolatry, it shouldn't be taken in the first place. If he took it, yotza, he fulfills his obligation. That's talking about a case where it wasn't planted in the first place for idolatry like the Asherah, which is disqualified, but it was used for a idol afterwards. So then it's kosher. Hayakamish v'logama libash, it was shriveled, but not totally dried up. Kosher is kosher. Shasat chakin, an emergency of shasat zakonah, in a time of danger, lulav yavash kosher, a dried up lulav is kosher. Avalosh ha'aminim, but not the other varieties. The rabbi disagrees, and he says a dried-up lulav would be possible under any circumstance. Bay, Zetzer, Shalal, Abishal, Trumat, Meya, Abishal, Tevo, possible. An Esrog of the first 3 years of the fruit of the tree, or of Truma that is unfit, it's Tamei, nobody could have any benefit from it, or Tevo, untithed grain. In all those cases, it is possible. Because it can't be eaten, it's sort of the equivalent of non-kosher. Shal Demai, a questionable grain, kosher, it is kosher, because it's only a question, as he says. Since it's only a questionable grain, the law is there that if a poor person is allowed to eat the demai without tithing it, and anyone has the potential to be a poor person, he can give away his property, and he's poor, and therefore it's not considered non-kosher. And that's all of truma that is fit, or of my tasheni, the second tithe in Jerusalem, which is also holy, you shouldn't take it because you might make it fit to become tamei. They're getting it wet, and you want to keep a thing away from even the liability of tumah. But if you took it, it is kosher. Halakha gimel, lulav sheniktam rosh ha'apostel, a lulav whose head was chopped off is not kosher. Nisak, if it was split, nisrach ha'kushnei stok of zemezet shi'arach kishnayim, if the two parts of the split were far from one another, so it looks like two, apostel is not kosher. Haya akam lafanav, it was crooked in front, Sheshidu kagat al-katoteris, and its spine looks like a hunchback. Apostle, it's not kosher. The Yalkam Acharav, if it was twisted backwards, kosher, it is kosher. Shazel v'yosel, because that's the normal way in which it's bent. Nekam lakam mitzdadav, if it's bent to one of the sides, apostle, it's not kosher. This v'du, all of zem yal zev, lo nidaldlu, kalayachuri is kosher. If the leaves are separated, but not hanging all the way down, like in the more mature day trees, it is kosher. Nivitol of Ushidaldalu, Meshidra Shalulov, Kalechurias, however, if they were separated, they're hanging down from the spine of the Lulav, like the date trees, it is possible, not kosher. Dalad Brias Alam Shalulov Kaki, this is the way the leaves of the Lulav work. Shem Gdelem, Gdelem Shtam Shtam, Dvukum Megabam. When they grow together and they're attached in the back. Vagam Koshne Alam Madvukumu Anikra Chelmet. Vagav Koshne Alam Madvukumu Anikra Chelmet. The tip of all of the, leaves that are attached, or the back of them, is called a chiyomis. Nechalka chiyomis posel. If the chiyomis is split, it's not kosher. They all of achas achas v'chilas b'yosav l'hoi alahem chiyomis posel. If it didn't come together, it was single leaves. It didn't grow in these pairs, it's not kosher. L'hoi alav zel gav zeh kedekal olav melazeh tachas zeh. If it wasn't one on top of the other, but one under the other. M'rozeh megeh l'ikah shalomayim menach nimtzeh b'ashidu shalulav m'chur sabalim. If the top of one reaches the bottom of the other, so the whole spine is covered with leaves, kosher is kosher. The main rosh shalzeh megillah tzedikah shalzeh, if the tip of the top of one doesn't reach the bottom of the other, then it is possible. Hey, hadash nikam rosh kosher, a myrtle whose head was cut off is kosher. Nashu ravolav, most of its leaves fell off, The three leaves left on one stalk, it is kosher. The two interpretations. One, that we're talking about a type of hanas that has seven leaves around and round. And although there are only three leaves left, it's kosher since you have the three, and that's what the minimum is. You have to have three leaves around and round. But it's going up the whole hadas. And some learn that this means that the whole hadasa, even though most of the leaves of the whole thing fell off, as long as it has three on it, it still remains kosher. High enough of Mirukas Liyolav, if it had more berries than leaves, in Mirukas, if they're green kosher, it's kosher. And the Dumas Ishkanas, if they're a different color, like red or black, possible it's not kosher. The Niyatamasi made them last, he picked them off kosher. The Matamas and the Yantav, you're not supposed to pick them off on Yantav. The Shukamasakan, it's like fixing the Hadassah. Other Liyatam, if he did do it anyway, he picked them off. Or Shaliktam Echad Echad Achila, or he picked them one at a time in order to eat. If it's kosher, then it's kosher. Vava Rava Shniktam Moshek Shera, and the Rava whose head has been cut off is kosher. Nifra Tzolaha, however, if the leaf fell off Tzolah, it is not kosher. Zayin Esek Shnikav Nekav, a foolish kosher puzzle. A Esek that has a hole that goes through and through, no matter how small it is, it's puzzle. Shadim Foolish, if it doesn't go through and through, why a ki Yisra or Yosra puzzle? If it's the size of a coin called an Yisra or more, then it's puzzle. Chas a kosher puzzle, if it's missing, any part of it is not kosher. Nizel Dado, if the the tip of the etzrig was taken away, and the Rambam explains to Rosh HaKadosh HaShashantabo, that's the the top that has this like flower-like thing on it, pasul not kosher. Nidlo etzur talibo b'ilam miko etzrig v'nishim makom agum apostol. If the stem which is hanging from on the tree is taken away and there's only a hole there, it's not kosher. Also chazozis olav, there's a kind of scar that comes on the lulav. In Mishnah Mishlashim comments, if it's two or three places, possible it's not kosher. The Mokamachad, if it's one place, the Malsal Rubo, if it's on most of it, possible it's not kosher. The Maldado, if it's on the tip, I feel a kosher, even a little bit, possible it's not kosher. Niklav Akrum Achitzin Shalom, if the outer skin of the Ezra was peeled off, Shinamachatro, there's nothing really missing. And Anisha Yorkum Moshe Hebrew Yorkum, so it still looks green or yellow as it was made. It's just a little thin layer on top peeled. Imnikov Kula Apostle, if it's all peeled off, it's not kosher. The Nishim Menakosher, if there's a little bit left, kosher, it is kosher. Chas Esrog Shutapuach, if an Esrog is sort of swollen, Saruach, or rotted, or kovush, or pickled, or shaluk, or cooked, shachar, or black, loven, or white, manurma spotted, yarkakarti, very green like a leek, in all these cases, Apostle, it's not kosher. Gidlo betfus, if he grew it in a form and it looks like some other kind of plant, it doesn't look like an etzrog anymore, puzzle. If he had it in a form, but that form looks like an etzrog, even if he made it like in round little shapes, round and round, it's still kosher. Hatyom v'haboser kosher. A twin esrog or a very young esrog, a mature esrog, is kosher. Malkum shesogam shalhem ka'ein shachrus ma'uta shera. Those places that grow slightly black esrog is kosher. Ma'yishchon b'yosu kalam kushi, if they're very black, like an Ethiopian person, or is it possible for malkum, then it's not kosher in any place. Tez kalela shaman shem sulam te'amum shabiyan. All of these things that are disqualified because of the blemishes that we explained, they go to Lugnevo because it was stolen. Yom Tov Rishon B'Av, that only applies on the first day of Yom Tov. Of Yom Tov Sheni Yom Shayamim, but the second day and all of the other days are called kosher, they're all kosher. But the Slanashim Shem Avodah Zarah Nefeshah, the Esrog Gosu B'Chila, Bein B'Yom Tov Rishon, Bein B'Shayamim Pasol. The disqualifications, because it's idolatrous or because you're not allowed to eat it, that applies the first day as well as and all of the other days as well. You don't fulfill your obligation on the first day of Yom Tov with your friend's lulav. If you borrow it, you have to give it to you as a gift. He gave it as a gift on condition that he'll return it. He does fulfill his obligation and he returns it. A gift on condition that if he returned it, it's considered a gift. If he didn't return it to him, he does not fulfill his obligation. It looks like stealing. You can't give an esrog to a child. A cotton can acquire but cannot give to someone else by Torah law. Therefore, when the child gives it back to you, it's not considered as returned. A lulav or any other variety of the four varieties, if it was borrowed, you don't fulfill your obligation on the first day. Neither one would fulfill his obligation on the first day unless he gives his share as a gift to the other one. Brothers who purchased an esrog from the inheritance money, not lechem esrog v'yotzebo, and one of them took an esrog and fulfilled his obligation. If he has a right to eat it, and the brothers wouldn't mind, then he would fulfill his obligation. If they were particularly yotza, he wouldn't fulfill his obligation until they give their share. In other words, if they wouldn't mind him eating it, it's considered that it's totally his. But if they would, then it's considered that there's still partners in it. And as we said before, by a partnership, to be yotze, the partner has to give you his share. If one person bought an etrog, one brother, the other some other fruit, or they bought different things, an etrog, a pomegranate, and other fruits from the inheritance money, then he definitely does not fulfill his obligation of the etrog until he gives him a share. In the first case, they all bought etrogim, so presumably each one wants the etrog to remain only his and not the other's. But if they bought different things, each one presumably wants to be a partner in the etrog. Even though if they ate it, they wouldn't mind, still, because of the mitzvah, they all want to fulfill the mitzvah with it, and they're not giving up their share in it. Even though it's a mitzvah to rejoice in all of the holidays, on Sukkot in the temple there was a special joy. It says, rejoice before Hashem, your God, for 7 days. How did they used to do this? On the day before their first holiday, they would make in the temple a place for the women above and the men below, so that they shouldn't mix with one another. And the rejoicing starts on the day after the first Yom Tov. And each day of Chol Hamoed, they begin the rejoicing. After the evening sacrifice, afternoon sacrifice, they would rejoice for the rest of the day and all of the nights that followed. How did they have this rejoicing? They would have the flute playing. They would play various musical instruments, harps, violins, cymbals. And each person with musical instruments that he knew how to play. A person who could sing well, a pair would sing by mouth. They would dance and clap and jump and just make merry. Call out of Ephesus on Shidei, each one according to the way he knew how. They would say words of songs and praise. The simcha you don't make on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, only in Chol Hamoed. The mitzvah has the simcha zu. It's a mitzvah to have a lot of this joy. Ignorant people, anyone who wanted to, didn't make it. The sages of Israel, they had the yeshivas, the Sanhedrin, the pious people, the elders, the men of good deeds. It was they who danced and clapped and sang and rejoiced in the temple in the days of Sukkot. But the regular people, the men and the women would just come to see and to hear. The joy that a person rejoices in the doing of the mitzvah and the love of God that he commanded is a great service. Whoever restrains himself from joy, from this joy, right apart from him, should be punished. That Hashem punishes you because you didn't serve Hashem your God with joy and a good heart. Whoever is arrogant and gives honor to himself and makes himself very dignified under such circumstances. Chote v'shote, he is both a sinner and a fool. And this is what Shlomo said, don't be a big shot in the presence of the king. He's so arrogant, he doesn't feel it's appropriate for him to rejoice. Whoever lowers himself and lowers his body, in the sense, lets himself go to rejoice in such places, this is someone who is great and honorable, who serves Hashem out of love, and therefore he's not so big that he can't act like a child, in a sense, by dancing and rejoicing before Hashem. And David said that if you would act even less, in a less dignified way, and be even more humble, it would be good. The only greatness and honor is to rejoice before Hashem. It says, King David was dancing and jumping before Hashem.